Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. This is your host, Pat Sloan, and I have got a really interesting mix of designers, artists today for the show. Because I recorded all of these, I want to give you a little briefing on what the show is about, because there's a lot of different people in it and they're all really, really fun. So the first person I'm going to be talking to here in a few minutes is Yvonne Wells, who is a folk artist, and she has an exhibit right now in the International Quilt Study Center and Museum in Lincoln, Nebraska, and we're going to talk to her about her quilting. And then the second segment, I was able to go out and visit master quilter Jenny Buyer out at her studio in Great Falls, Virginia. Jenny lives just up the street from me, so it was really fun to go into her studio space and interview her there amongst her quilts and her fabrics. After that, the last two segments of the show were both recorded at the trade show in Houston in October. So the first one is with designer Rashida Coleman Hale, and Rashida has written books and is a fabric designer, and so it's really lovely to hear her talk about her work. And then Linda McGeehee and I. Now, you've seen her bags and her zippers and everything for years. She is just a fun, fun person. And, you know, you're going to tell this is real live happening, because it was at the end of the day when Linda and I were talking, and we were trying to find a quiet spot, and everywhere we went, people kept coming through and talking, and doors were opening, and it was just nutty. And Linda was such a good sport. We had to move twice during that interview. So you'll get a kick out of it, because it is real life. So let's go ahead and bring on Yvonne, because I'm just so delighted to have Yvonne here. Hi, Yvonne. How are you doing?
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Oh, I am just wonderful. I just love your quilts. I told you I got to see them actually in person. That was just such a thrill.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad you were able to get there to see them.
Now, I read that, you know, you made your first quilt back in 1979, and that quilt, actually, you loved it, and you started quilting from that point on. Is that right?
That is correct. When I made that first piece, it felt good, it looked good, and I liked doing it, so I decided that I could do more, and that's how it started, and it was because there was stuff in the house that I could use to make the quilt with, as opposed to going out and buying stuff. Like the curtains and the bedspreads and the sheets and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you are a folk artist. And
I am a folk artist, is correct.
Yes,
and a lot of people don't understand us.
That's my work is not quite like yours, but my personal work leans that way. And, of course, my love is totally there. Would you describe your quilts for those people who haven't had a chance to go see them yet?
Well, I describe them as if you were looking at children in a school who make, during art class, they draw stuff all kinds of ways out of order and off the paper and on the floor. I'm basically that kind of person, but I try to put a message with each thing that I make, and that's how I describe it. It's just so free-flowing without any directions at all other than that which I have in my head.
Now, I love that part, because they really have personality and they have soul. I mean, your pieces, even if you just made them just because, there's that signature Yvonne in there.
Right. I just don't have any directions that I have to follow.
Right. So how does an idea start for you?
Well, it starts in several different ways. A lot of times, I can see something and I say, oh, gee, I think I can make something that has a story to that. Or a lot of times it comes from the inner soul. I always tell people my work is heat from the gut, ignited by the soul and kept aflame by spirituality. And the three H's, what my head sees, my heart feels, and my hand create, that's the kind of stuff that I do that really is mind-blowing to a lot of our quilters. They don't seem to understand, they haven't seemed to understand the kind of stuff that I do and enjoy it so much. I enjoy this so much that it's hard for me to put down.
It do you make one right after the other? I mean, or do you have like the ideas like overflowing in your head, or do you sort of get one at a time?
No, it's overflowing. There are times I'm making five at a time.
Oh, wow.
It sounds as if I'm jumping all over my room, but I'm not. But I'm usually, when I first started, I was doing about five at a time. But now, as I grow older, I'm doing maybe one to two or three at a time. I'm doing two right now. Mm-hmm. But I just don't have one message or one quilt in mind that I'm going to do, mm-hmm. because I'm seeing and hearing and thinking so many things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you find, Yvonne, like when you're out with other people, is there a lot of stimulus for you as an artist that you know, people's conversations or what people are doing or the places that you are those some of the things that you're observing?
I'm observing so many things that I don't know what other people are thinking, if I'm understanding your question correctly.
Right, right. I'm thinking, you know, your work seems like, and just talking to you, it seems like you probably are out someplace and you would overhear something, go, oh, that's a neat story, or that will spark something.
No, not necessarily. There are many stories that I make that I don't hear anything.
Ah.
I feel a lot of things.
Okay.
I'm working in so many different areas,
mm-hmm.
like the socio, political, the religious, the children's moment,
mm-hmm.
and all of those kind of things. I do a lot of things in the civil rights movement, and and they are not always what people say.
Mm-hmm. Ah,
it's
okay.
Just how I feel,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and how I can interpret what I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm. That's a big difference.
Yes.
Yeah. And on the for those people who want to go out, then go to the quiltstudy.org website and go to the exhibit page, and you can click through to Yvonne's bio and the quilts, because I want you to go look at each of her quilts and get the big picture up, and you can hear and read what Yvonne's thoughts were about each of the quilts that she made that are on exhibit. So that's really nice, Yvonne, to have that.
It is. It is. And it was even nicer to be there, to be able to speak with people who came from afar to listen to see what these quilts were saying. And I was glad to be able to be there and speak with them.
Now, tell me a little bit about the fabrics that you use, because you are not strictly, you were saying earlier, you know, draperies, whatever. And I'm even looking at your Ugly Faces quilt, and it looks like you might have some rickrack trim around, some for the hair. And
I do. It probably is. It is rickrack, and then there are lots of buttons that I use. But the fabric is not always cotton, 100% cotton, because sometimes I want to tell a story, and I may need something rough. Maybe telling a tough story. So I go out and find some rough fabric and put it in there. It does not have to be cotton. It just has to be where I can stick this needle in it, and it tells my story.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you can get a needle in it, it can go on your quilt.
Yes, if it tells my story. And a lot of times I don't buy my work, my fabric. I find stuff on the street.
Mm-hmm.
People bring stuff and put it on my patio.
Uh-huh.
And I go to flea markets and thrift stores and just search and search and search. I just completed one that the other day, and I used one of my skirts that I was no longer using.
Mm-hmm.
So it does not matter where I get it from. It's just what it says when I do get it.
That's really, really wonderful. I love that part. And I love that. To look at your pictures up, your quilts up close, and see what fabrics you did pick.
Oh, they're amazing! I use a lot of American flags, a lot of Alabama flags, and any other flags that I'm going to tell a story with.
Now, your quilts also have traveled. You're an internationally exhibit, and you were telling me Italy, Japan, France, and you got to go to some of those exhibits. What was that like?
It was just the most amazing thing that I had ever experienced, simply because the kind of work that I do, I thought it was so naive and so primitive that no one would be interested in seeing it. However, I found that to be quite different. The latest place that I have been was in Italy. Pietrasana, Italy. I had 20 of my pieces hung there in one of the old cathedrals.
Oh, wow.
And it was the most amazing thing that I had ever seen. Oftentimes, my work is hung from the walls and on different kinds of quilt frames, but there they had them affixed to just about everything that they could in the cathedral. And it was most fascinating, the most fascinating thing that I had ever seen. And it was over old graves that when they used to bury their dead in the churches, synagogue or whatever they would call them. But it was 20 of my pieces there that I still today am in awe of them being asked to be exhibited there.
That is so cool. Did you love meeting the artists? Did you meet quilters? Did you meet other types of artists while you were like at the other countries?
Yes, we did. I was able to go to a lot of marble companies because the exhibition, I mean, the trip there was marble. And we have in Alabama a marble quarry in Sylacauga. So that was the main thing, to see if there could be an interchange between Alabama and Pietrasana. But I did get a chance to speak with quite a few of the artists. And they were just overwhelmed at what I was doing. And I was glad to be able to point to the importance of what I was doing as and the importance of what they were doing as well.
Oh, that is just, I just love that. I mean, now maybe you'll put some marble in your quilts, or maybe you already have.
I think I know a way of doing it.
Right. I'm sure you do.
You never know. You never know. And I always expect the unexpected from me.
Yvonne, this has been so wonderful talking to you.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be asked to be interviewed.
Well, I just want to give everybody another thing here. They can go to the quiltstudy.org site, which is the International Quilt Study Museum in Lincoln, Nebraska. And your exhibit is on until February 26, 2012. So if you're listening and you can get to Lincoln and go see the quilts in person, it is so worth it. Otherwise, go out, see Yvonne's work on their website. So thank you again, Yvonne Wells. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Well, we're going to take a little break, everybody, and come right back and listen to my interview with Ginny Beyer.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both LEDs are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com. Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We're in the second segment, and I am on location. I just love going out and visiting quilters, where they work, where they live, and sometimes I get that opportunity. And today I am in the Ginny Beyer studio, and Miss Ginny Beyer is sitting right across from me, and we are going to have a great little chat because Ginny lives up the street. And when I first learned to quilt, Ginny's work was everywhere, all the local stores, and she's, you know, a local person, a local celebrity to my area of Northern Virginia. So, Ginny, thanks for letting me come out and visit you.
Well, always nice to see you, Pat.
Yeah, your studio is in Great Falls, Virginia.
Yes.
When is it open? How?
We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. 10 to 5.
Ah, very good. You have to come. It's an adorable shop. It's all Ginny and fun other amazing gadgets and jewelry and stuff. You have great product down there.
Well, since it's only my fabrics that I sell in terms of fabrics, we like to make up with it for some nice sewing, what we would construe as sewing-related gift items.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Beautiful thimbles and silver and all kinds of other stuff, too. So, now, Ginny, you're being profiled in American Patchwork and Quilting magazine for the February 2012 issue, and this is airing in December, and so the magazine's out. That's pretty exciting.
It is, and it was really a fun couple of days I spent with them. They did a fabulous job, I thought, with the photographs, and it was just fun meeting everybody.
Yeah, I know. They are a great crew. I love working with American Patchwork and Quilting. Now, I want to tell you that when I first heard of your work and saw your work as a new quilter, one of the things that, I don't know if it was an article or what, but your first quilt was your grandmother's flower garden that you did back in 1972. You can find it on your website under your About section.
Right.
That was really the first piece you ever made?
Yes. Yes. I was living in India, and I was a knitter, and I ran out of yarn, and I did a project. And I had been making clothes with the hand-block printed Indian fabrics.
Yeah.
And I just loved the colors. Yeah. And I had all these scraps left over from it, and I just decided I would make a quilt.
And when you showed that to people, what did they say? Since it wasn't pastel, it's deep, rich tones and browns. And
well, you know, the thing is, I was always kind of shy about my ability to do anything creative. Mm. So because I was a family of girls and was one of the middle ones. And so I always aspired to what my older sister did or, you know, what my mother would tell me to do. So I never really felt creative. So I was always waiting for somebody to tell me what to do. But since I was there in India and I just knew that I wanted to do this hexagon pattern, I'd seen advertisement with a grandmother's flower garden quilt on a bed, and I decided I would make a quilt like that. And I just worked with colors that I liked from the hand block printed fabrics. And so when I did come back to the States and finally found a small little quilt group that was just forming, the beginning of the Vienna Quilters Unlimited here in Northern Virginia.
Okay, yeah.
And there was a group of about 12 ladies, and I went, and they were all showing all their stuff. And, you know, in the 1970s, things were little Ely Walker calicos and solid colors. And here comes this deep burgundy and blue quilt with no white or no light or anything in it whatsoever. And somebody finally said, well, what have you got in your bag?
Yeah.
So I pulled out my quilt, and the reaction was, wow, it's so different. You're so creative. And I'm going, I am?
Yeah.
Because I never thought of myself that way at all. But I think it gave me just that little ounce of confidence to do what I liked, not what somebody else told me I should do.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we all should do. You know, you just go from your heart, and then it'll really sing to you.
Absolutely. I mean, it really still is such a classic quilt. I mean, when people look at it, I mean, you must get comments often, maybe. I would think.
It is quite different.
It's really nice. Now let's talk about the fact that, and it is, I think, pretty much a fact that you're a piecer by hand, that you're really not someone who grabs that sewing machine and sews your quilts.
Nope. I use my sewing machine about once a year, and I used it this weekend for the first time in probably about 18 months.
Did fireworks go off?
No, I had to make some aprons for my little three-year-old granddaughter who likes to cook. So I thought, oh, she needs a couple of aprons. So
that was
a good thing to use the machine for. But for my quilting, I do it all by hand, and I enjoy the process, the relaxation it brings me, as well as the accuracy.
it's wonderful to know those basics. And I asked you earlier if you're still teaching beginners, and you are here at your studio?
Yes. Yes, yeah. I am. I love to teach beginning classes. Yeah. I get people who've never even threaded a needle, adults, and, just to teach them and finally see them get it and feel that confidence themselves of doing something. And they come back to me, oh, I just loved it so much. And now, I've had machine piecers come to me. Well, I do everything by machine, but I'd kind of like to use the hand sewing. And I tell them it's great to have a hand sewing project to carry with you because you get stuck in traffic, you're at a doctor's office, you're sitting on an airplane.
Right, right.
And I've had people come back and say, I love it. I'm not even doing any machine work
anymore.
Oh, no. It's so relaxing.
Total comfort.
Yeah.
Now, for that machine person who's never tried anything, what's a good pattern to start with?
One of the, actually interesting you should ask because you mentioned the magazine that's coming out with a quilt. I've got a quilt in there. And it's a baby block quilt. Actually, it's a quilt that I made for my new grandson. But I always recommend to a beginning quilter that the baby block pattern is one of the best ones there is to start because you get the straight line sewing, you get joining 6 points, not eight, and you do a little bit of set-in seams. And once they master the first, I do it in units, like hexagonal units, and once they master the first couple of hexagons, they're good to go. And it's a good color exercise. I encourage them not to just use three colors, but to use a variety of scraps, so they're having to sort in light, mediums, and darks, and that's one that I recommend all the time.
Oh, good, 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 good. So all of you machiners who want to try the handwork.
Get that magazine.
Get the magazine. It's out, it's out. So your fabric is totally classic. And when did you start designing your fabrics?
I did my first line for VIP company in 1981.
Oh, okay.
And I worked with them for three different lines over a period of a couple of years. And after that, they decided quilting had reached its peak and they were going to get out of the quilting field and weren't going to do any patchwork-related lines anymore. So then that's when I started with RJR, and I've been with them ever since.
Yeah. Oh. Now, how many lines are you putting out a year?
About six.
Wow, wow. Tell me a little bit. Now, your shop, like we said earlier, is all your fabrics. And so if somebody's looking for an older fabric, they can contact you. You might have it.
We might, yeah.
Yeah, you might still have it. But tell me a little bit about your process of putting together a line, since it's sort of a constant thing for you.
It is a constant thing. Some of the lines are more color-oriented, and some are more pattern-oriented.
Okay.
The color-oriented lines would be like my palette collection, which are sort of tone on tone or tonal fabrics that will blend with any other fabric out there. You know, they're good basic, basic fabrics. And then I do collections. And in each collection, I always have sort of my signature border print, usually a paisley or multi-colored large-scale print, and then support patterns that go with that. And I usually do that in four different colorways. It'll be maybe a total of 28 different pieces in the group. Wow. Some of the other ones, I might just do smaller groups. I do quite often a Christmas collection or a holiday collection.
You have some nice poinsettia fabrics downstairs right now. Yeah, very pretty. Do you paint them yourself? Do you do sketches, computer
work? No, I work with a design studio.
Okay.
I work with a design studio and I send them my ideas. A lot of my ideas I get from working with a computer. Like, for instance, I take photographs and I'll put them in my computer and you'd be really amazed at what you'll see that I can suddenly go, wow, that would be a great quilt pattern, whether it's a wall of a building or whether it's a flower or in one case I did a fabric that I was walking down at Great Falls Park and a tree had fallen over the night before in a storm and it had created these incredible splinters, wood splinters, gigantic wood splinters. I said, I got to come back the next day. And I took a close-up of those splinters and that became one of my fabrics. I put it in the computer, manipulated the image, and it turned out great. And then I give that image to the art studio and they get it. They put it in a way that it can be printed and they do the repeats and so forth. And then once they get the patterns established, I get them back in a digital form and I do all the colorings because I don't like to just give them Pantone colors or anything because there's so much more to coloring patterns than that. So I work in Photoshop basically and manipulate the colors until I'm satisfied with what I've got.
Ah, you have a lot of jewel tones in your lines.
Yes. a lot more than I have previously. My lines have gotten brighter over the years. But I think all that also has to do with the trends of what people are using and so forth.
Now, is there a color that you that you don't use as often? Do you have something that doesn't really show up as often in your lines?
Well, you know, my palette fabric collection has fabrics that pretty much span the spectrum, mm-hmm. and I try to have a wide variety. But I would say, in general, I don't use a lot of... well, that's wrong. Sweet pink, I would say, because I do love pinks and fuchsias and things like that. But and just
sort of the pastel-y
colors. I don't tend, but I do put them in mm-hmm. my collections because mm-hmm. you need the variety.
Right.
You need the variety, and something that I always try to include because I think it's so important in any kind of color scheme is to have the neutrals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People don't walk into my shop and head to the browns and beiges and tans and go, "Oh, I love this fabric. I need 3 yards of it."
Right.
You know, but yet those are like the most, I call them, essential ingredients of a collection.
Yeah.
Or of a color scheme that you're working with. You need some of those neutrals to tone down the brights.
And I'm just here looking at a gorgeous star that has a cream that it's set on. And it just, you know, stands out because of that. It doesn't sort of mush away if it were too dark.
Right.
Now, tell me how you fell in love with the border prints, because they have become your signature. But how did that happen for you?
Well, as I mentioned before, I was living in India when I got interested in quilting. And I think just subconsciously, the borders on the saris, the borders of the intricate designs around windows, the... Everywhere you looked, you could go somewhere and see an elephant mm-hmm. coming down the street and he had a border design painted across his forehead.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the cars or the trucks. And mm-hmm. I think that was just so ingrained in my... And all of those early Indian fabrics you bought by the piece, mm-hmm. not by the yard the way we do. And so it was a bed cover or it was a tablecloth. And they all had a pattern, all over pattern in the middle with a border around the outside. So I had those borders from the get-go and wanted to figure out how to make them work and how to use them. So when I started designing fabrics, I loved the effect I was getting mm-hmm. from the borders, and I decided that would be part of what would go into my lines.
Cool. So what's coming up next? You know, what's on your horizon? Any new big things you can share?
Oh, well, you know, I went on a trip a year ago with Jim West to India. He takes these tours.
Yeah.
And he's got me lined up for another tour to Ireland in June, and we still have some openings, so I'm hoping some people will be inspired to do that.
It's a fabulous country.
Yeah, and it's all part of their Irish Quilt Symposium mm-hmm. that they're doing, so I think that's going to be a very, very exciting thing, and it's an early part of June. And then I'm going on another trip with him in the fall. Dates are not established yet, but probably to the Galapagos Islands and Machu Picchu in South America. So that should be exciting. And then always we've got new collections coming along. As I said, I do six mm-hmm. a year, so every couple of months we've got something new coming in. And I try to design quilts for those collections.
And people can go to your website.
Yep, www.jennybyer.com.
And you have a newsletter?
We have an online newsletter that people can sign up for. There's no fee. And we do tips and free patterns in a block a month. We mm-hmm. got a very exciting new one starting in January. So,
ooh, can't wait.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd like to thank you for being here and for letting me come to see you and share your work.
Thanks. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Yeah. So everybody hold on. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have two interviews that I did at the Quilt Market. This is Pat Sloan for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting.
We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
I'm with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio here at the Houston Trade Show. I'm getting to talk to a lot of designers and shop owners and different people, so it's a lot of fun. We're up in the convention center. We have a hallway up here where we can be a little more quiet and look out on the city of Houston. So I have Rashida Coleman Hale of iHeart Linen, and she is an author and she's a fabric designer, fabulous blogger. So I know a lot of you follow her through her work and her blog, and I'm just really excited to meet her. This is the first time we've met, Rashida.
Yes, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Yeah, I'm excited that you were going to be here because we were emailing, you weren't sure you were going to be here, and then you're like, yes, I am. It's like, whee!
Yeah, I thought about it and I was like, how could I miss Quilt Market? I have to go.
That's right, it's the best, isn't it?
It is. It's been a good time.
We all email and we blog and we tweet and do all those things, but when you get to see people in person, it just sort of solidifies it all.
It brings it all together, and it's just fun seeing everybody that you talk to online every day.
And you're actually a big Twitterer, aren't you?
Yeah, I tweet all the time.
Yeah, it's like a little coffee break, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. I think, because like I mentioned before when we talked earlier, I'm super shy, so I think I get to kind of be myself a little more online because you don't, you know, have to sit in front of people and think they're judging you.
Yeah, it's friendly.
Yeah,
it's friendly and anonymous, sort of. Well, I want to talk about your work so that people who aren't familiar with your work yet get a feel for it. You have two books. You have a book in print and a book coming out.
That's right.
So tell me about your first book.
The first book is I Love Patchwork, and that was published by Interweave Press.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, I'm so excited about that one, and I'm still excited about it.
I know. First book, and it's a gorgeous book.
Thank you. I really love that one because I had so much creative freedom, and I really felt like it was very true to my style and my voice and point of view, so I'm very happy with that book.
What type of projects are in there for the people who haven't seen it yet?
Well, it's called I Love Patchwork, but it's a mixture of patchwork mixed with linen, which is basically my signature style sewing, and it's kind of little Zaka projects, you know, little things for the home, so it's like tote bag and pouches, and there's even a little doll, you know, a little lamb doll, and there's a quilt, and so good variety.
And you took, you know, some of your work you've been doing after that, and you compiled a book called Zaka Style.
Well, Zaka Style is actually, it's a collaborative book, so I kind of just went around the internet and on Flickr and the blogs and looked at some of my favorite designers and online artists, I guess you could call them. And, you know, I wanted to do a book that was almost like I Love Patchwork, but just from another artist's point of view.
Cool.
There's 24 contributors. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So you got to work with all of them and communicate and plan plan the project, but, you know, work together to have a cohesive, because you're like the curator of the book.
Yeah, exactly. It was the funny thing about it is because, you know, I thought, oh, I'm going to do a collaborative book this time because, you know, it was so much hard work doing that one book on my own, you know, and it's like, it'll be easier. Yeah, it was not easier at all. It was so hard just trying to keep everybody organized and make sure I had everyone's paperwork. And then, I think the other most difficult part was the editing, you know, because everybody writes so differently.
Right.
And just trying to go through and make sure that everyone had a consistent sound and trying to translate people's, you know, some people's wonky ways of writing things. So, you know, but it was a good experience, and I really enjoyed it. And
I bet you made some really good friends, too. I mean, were a few of the people that you didn't know maybe quite as well contributed?
There were a few people I didn't know, and, you know, at first I felt kind of strange, you know, approaching them, like, do you want to put a project in my book?
Yeah. they were probably thrilled.
Yeah, everyone was super excited, so... And they're still excited, and I'm excited for them, because I just can't wait to showcase, you know, all these different artists, because they're all from all over the planet, and a lot of super talented people. So.
And when that one will be out in December this year. Tell me about a few of the projects. Are they using, on the cover, there's some projects with linen.
Yes.
It looks like linen to me. So is there a lot of linen in the book?
Yes, there's a lot of linen in the book. I think just about every project has it.
Did you send them the linen to work with, or
everyone
did their own?
Yeah, everyone kind of, I wanted everyone to just sort of do their own thing and stay true to themselves.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Everyone got to pick their fabrics, and it's just great. It all just really came together really well, so I'm excited for everyone to see it.
Yeah. Now, I have a question, because I think linen is marvelous. What are some tips for people who've never worked with linen but are anxious to?
Oh, gosh, I can, you know, the first time you work with it, I think it sounds a little intimidating, because it's very shifty fabric. Mm-hmm. It doesn't like to stay still, you know, so at first it can be a little hard to work with, but it's beautiful. It works beautifully with cotton, you know, they work so well together.
Do you wash it in advance?
I do.
Before you work with it or cut it?
I think the best thing to do is, I like to wash mine in hot water first. Because that gets the major shrinkage out.
Okay.
And then when you dry it until it's a little damp.
Okay.
And then you iron it while it's still damp.
Okay.
And I think it just really has a nice, crisp, clean look after, and it's so soft. Linen gets softer as you wash it, you know, if you make quilts with it, it's just gonna be really nice and soft and cozy.
And it probably gets softer as you wash it.
It does. So the more you wash it, the softer it's gonna get.
Do you prefer like natural colors to yours?
I do. I'm not really a fan of, you know, colored linen. I really just like the natural look, and I'm not sure why. I just like it.
Well, you know, that's your voice, like you say.
Yeah.
You know, that's what your style. So let's talk about your fabric you design.
Okay.
You know, based on that, do you have linen in your print fabrics?
The first collection has the cotton linen blend.
Okay.
I really wanted to have a linen, you know, just because that's what I do.
Yeah, that's what you do. Yes. I heart linen, of course.
Yeah, so, you know, Timeless Treasures was really excited to make that happen for me. So, you know, they had a natural cotton linen blend printed to go along with my line. And then they just really, they did such a good job to translate my designs and, you know, make them really fun and cute. So I think it was a fun first collection, you know.
And then when you design a collection like that, for the linens, you more picking colors, I would assume, you know, what shades of, you know, you want. But when you do the your prints, what's your process to come up with your ideas? Because you have a new collection that'll be out, and what's the name of that that'll be coming out in the spring or early spring?
Yeah, it's that one is called Washi, and it's the main print is Washi Tape. So,
Now tell everybody what that is for those like me who may not be totally sure what it is.
Washi Tape is like, it's masking tape with really fun colors, and sometimes has a lot of fun prints on them, and you can do just about anything to, you know, dress up plates and glasses and paper sticking on the wall, you know.
And
put
where
it
do
everywhere.
You find that tape?
it's a Japanese thing, but you can find them on Etsy. There's another shop. I think it's called Q-Tape. There's another one. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, that's okay. But just sort of Google that.
Yeah, you can Google it and you'll find it.
So that was your inspiration for the line.
Yeah.
Was so you have a lot of sort of rectangular shapes on the fabric. We're looking at a little card with her fabrics on it.
Yeah, I was actually sitting at my workstation at home playing with some washi tape that I had. And I was, you know, making the little shapes and on the piece of paper with my kids. And I was like, you know, it would be really cool to have a fabric like that.
Yeah.
You know, with just the little pieces of tape all over here. Yeah. You know, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Very linear. It's very fresh. It has, on the picture here, she has like a cream background and then the tape or... And they have the little raggy edges, like you pulled them off the thing.
Yeah, it's so neat. It's super fun, so I'm really happy with it.
Do you paint your designs, or do you go and do them in one of the, you know, software packages? Or?
I use Illustrator for my designing. Okay. So I taught myself Illustrator, and there's a funny story about that because, you know, I was freelancing doing graphic design maybe back in 2001. Mm-hmm. And I went and interviewed for this job that I wanted so bad. And
yeah.
They were like, can you do Illustrator? I was like, yeah, I can do that. No problem. Had no idea how to use it. So they gave me the job, and then they gave me all these files that they wanted me to translate into Illustrator and be done by the next morning.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I had to sit up all night and teach myself how to use Illustrator. I was like, no. But I sat up and I got it done.
You did. Oh, my gosh.
And fell in love with it because, it's a great program. And, so there you go.
You get the What a Woman Award for teaching yourself overnight how to translate to Illustrator. Holy cow. So you have children at home.
I do.
Little ones. What are the ages?
5, 4, and 20 months.
Oh, my. How is it with having, running a business and trying, they're young, so they're home a lot.
They are.
Do you have to work?
When they're sleeping. When they're sleeping. My kindergarten, my 5-year-old goes to kindergarten and the 4-year-old's in preschool. So, they're gone a couple hours. And then the baby is home with me, and sometimes he sleeps, so I can squeeze in some time during those times. But usually everything happens at night for me. I'm the night owl.
Yeah, and I think a lot of moms that do this, or dads too, have to become night owls.
Yeah.
Parents have to become night owls to get it done. That's all I ever hear is like, oh, no, after they're asleep.
That's the only time.
Yeah, doesn't happen before that. So tell me a few things that you write about on your blog for those who haven't visited you yet.
I try to write just about anything that really interests me or things that I'm working on or, even if I have a rant, oh, I'm having a crappy day. I'm going to go blog about it.
Yeah. Get out of your system.
So I kind of try and just be really candid and keep it true to myself. And, I don't like to try and paint any type of perfect picture, I'm just being me, and I'm kind of goofy, and I say a lot of dorky things. And,
and you share a lot about your work. And,
I do share a lot about, what projects I'm working on, or, if I'm in a project in a magazine or anything like that, or if I have a special event happening, I'll blog about it. And or even if I see some other special work from another designer, that I really like and think everyone should see it, I'll blog about it,
Share the love. You have to share it.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Let me tell everybody your website. It's iheartlinen.typepad.com.
That's right.
Rashida Coleman Hale, who has an author with 2 books and fabric collections with Timeless Treasures. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for talking with me
It's exciting. Exciting to meet her in person.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm a little, scratchy today.
That's okay. It happens when you go on travel.
Yeah. I I'm super shy, and I don't think I've ever talked so much in my life. But it's been great.
Well, thank you for being here. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We're going to take a little break. Come right back. I'm your host, Pat Sloan.
Win free stuff. Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space?
The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects. Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we're back here from our break, and we're still in Houston, Texas, and I have another designer that, you know, you are going to recognize her name and her look, and she's going to tell us all of the inside secrets about zippers and bags and really cool stuff. So I have Linda McGeehee from Geehees.com, G-H-E-E-S.com. I know you've seen that everywhere. So Linda, thanks for being here.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Pat.
Yeah, I just love it. We're right by the loading dock, aren't we?
Yeah, here in Houston by the loading dock, and it's also Halloween, so
yes.
You know. The gremlins could be coming in.
Right. So you might hear a little background noise while we're talking. So you're here vending for the trade show, and then you stay on for the festival.
Yes, this year I'm staying for the festival to show off our wonderful zippers.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I knew you when you started with the bags, mm-hmm. and you have then gone on to have, like, zipper mania.
Yes, we still work with the metal hardware and the snaps and the hex open frames, but mm-hmm. we have the most phenomenal zippers. I mean, as you can see, these have black and white teeth,
yeah.
and we have multiple colors of tape, so you can mix the zippers. These are separating zippers. You
yeah.
can mix them so that one side of your zipper could be pink and the other be purple,
oh,
or it could
cool
be black, or it could be in black and red, your school
yeah.
colors, whatever yeah. matches or appears to match your fabric better.
Yeah. Now, how did you start to play with zippers? You know, why did this fascinate you?
Well, we've always needed a little bit of zippers for pockets and things like that.
Right.
So they've always been hidden.
Oh.
But a company approached me to play with zippers some and show me what the possibilities of zippers were. So I decided it was time for zippers to become out and exposed so that you could see them and they could be part of the embellishment.
So which project or like which zipper, Linda, was the one that you started playing with that you just went, oh my, I think there's something here?
Well, I like rhinestones, but
I
as far
see.
As but it's, I mean, from New Orleans, you can't get too gaudy for Mardi Gras. But I like bright, pretty colors, bright
yeah.
mixtures of colors more so than the pastels.
Mm-hmm.
I also like the metals looks, but I didn't want the scratch that you sometimes get with the metals.
Right.
So we have a group that looks like metal, but it's actually nylon.
Oh.
They're a larger coil,
yeah.
so you can get the copper, the brass, the
mm-hmm.
antique brass, the nickel
yeah.
look to them.
Yeah.
And it's not heavy with your garment or your bag, whatever you happen to be
right.
working with.
Right. Oh.
But what really got me with zippers was people wanted a zipper at the top of the bag, but I just detested that long honking piece of zipper sticking out the
yeah.
end.
Yeah.
And discovered that if you use a separating zipper, it is
yeah.
really slick
mm.
and it's easy to put in.
Yeah.
You stitch the zipper in and then use binding to cover the edge.
Oh.
And so it kind of fits into some of the quilting
right.
things, too. And Because of the amount of fabric I was working with, mm-hmm. sometimes the zippers were too long. Most of the time they're too long. So I cut them off and then add an extra pull. Mm-hmm. And then you have another zipper that you can put together in another project, or you can trim the pockets on the project you have.
Cool. Now, one of the things, Linda, that you were mentioning to me earlier was that you always found that your bags were like a canvas to play on. So once you started doing all these zippers, were you putting them on as decoration then?
I use some zippers for decoration, but I also like to embellish with threads and piecework or anything that you can do on a garment or a quilt you can do on a bag. You're just doing it in a smaller way. And if you're a garment person who's changing sizes, when you work with a bag, you don't have to worry about fit.
Yeah.
So
I like that part.
Well, I try to steer a little bit away from the fit part, but I have friends that take care of that as far as teaching goes.
Yeah.
But I like to experiment with a wide range of
textures,
embellishments, mm-hmm. beads, buttons, and yarns, threads, and I can experiment in a small way and put it on a bag.
Yeah.
Actually, putting a bag together doesn't take much time. Mm-hmm. It's how you choose to embellish that takes the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to make a quick project, if it needs to be quick, then choose pre-quilted fabric or mm-hmm. a leather look or pull a block out from your little collection that you have leftovers that you're not going to finish that project anyway.
Yeah.
Put it on a bag and you're good to go and it's pretty quick.
Yeah.
Or if you want to play with threads or mm-hmm. applique, I mean, literally anything you want to do, you can put on a bag.
Put on a bag. Love it. Love it. So I'm like really curious now about the ability when you were talking earlier about mixing the zippers between two different colors and styles. How are people using that?
If you're working with a separating zipper, mm-hmm. you unzip it mm-hmm. and then mix the colors.
Mm-hmm. Are they putting them in the clothing then?
We have samples in our booth that are clothing that are just tons of zippers on them just for fun.
Yeah.
Some of the pieces are leftover parts and pieces from other projects. I mean, there's lace zippers, there's stripe zippers, the teeth are different colors, there's a metal look. So we use them for utility to get mm-hmm. in and out of the garment or the bag.
Right.
And then we use them for embellishment too.
And you use them as jewelry.
Yes, we do have.
Tell me about the jewelry. Oh, my gosh. It's just amazing.
Well, Pat, that's one of the free downloads on the website. It's actually a little rose.
Yeah.
Or we call it a pansy, I believe. Yeah. Susan I. Jones did those samples for me.
Yeah.
And she uses a whole zipper mm-hmm. to go around your neck as if it were the chain.
Mm-hmm.
And then you attach these little rosettes on the zipper itself.
Yeah.
So if you want to put a bunch of them on there and be big and gaudy, you can. If you want to be a little bit more sedate, you can do that too.
And you're wearing right now a spider.
This is a spider made with a striped zipper. Oh. The tape is striped.
Now, you actually design the zippers, right? Working with the manufacturer now.
Yes, we designed some, and I use some zippers that are existing.
In stock.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that process like for you? Is it like just an amazingly cool thing? I mean, I was thinking like, gosh, you know, how do you decide to put a stripe on the tape part?
Well, as far as the black and white brights, which mm-hmm. was the first ones mm-hmm. that I worked with, we have to choose the tape colors,
mm-hmm.
and the tape color chart is larger than any thread color chart I've ever seen. So there's a lot of color choices, plus we can dye it if we want.
If you can't find it, then we can
have it made. So you choose your tape.
Yeah.
You decide whether you want teeth.
Yeah.
Or plastics.
Yeah.
Metals. Coil. Nylon. I mean, you make those decisions. What mm-hmm. size you want it to be? Do you want it to be number three, the small ones like your skirt or pant zipper, mm-hmm. or do you want it to be wider? You have to decide whether you want it closed in, separating, whether you want a double zipper. And I can show you how to put a double zipper if you need a double zipper in a handbag or something luggage type.
Yeah,
I can show you how to do that.
That's so cool.
You can use a fun zipper and not your basic black, which is black and white is probably what you can find.
Right, right.
But you also choose the pull.
Well, folks, you know, we are at the trade show, and Linda and I have tried to, like, hide away in the back by the loading area. So you probably heard a lot of noise, and we shifted areas. And then just now, like, they needed to get in the big, you know, big elevator. So we put it on pause, and that's gone. So now we can finish. Yes. So Linda's going to talk about the pulls, you know, and the zippers, you know, how, you know, you've had to open it and close it. You know, you can make them gorgeous.
This is the piece that you pull up and down. Mm-hmm. It's called a pull.
Yeah.
And you have a choice of a variety of pulls, or you can create your own.
Yeah. Oh,
so on the black and white brights, I have a big hole because I know a lot of the artsy people want to put yarns and tassels and beads and bottles and whatever thing on the bottom of them. So on the metals that were a little bit more tailored, mm-hmm. we have a different type of pull.
Yeah.
So you literally choose everything that goes mm-hmm. on the zipper. You choose what type of boxes at the bottom.
Yeah.
Whether you what color you use on the insertion pin, what color you use at the stops. There's about 12 different boxes I have to fill in when you're making a decision on a zipper.
That's incredible. I mean, absolutely. Now, are you seeing zippers on physical quilts yet? I mean,
oh, I'm not. You're going to open up a can of worms. No, not really. There are several people who've been doing it, and I've had thoughts for a couple of years, and I've got that's good. My first quilt will have a zipper on it.
There you go. Yeah.
So there, you can zip them together like a table runner type thing. So you could have three pieces when the mm-hmm. table's long, and unzip it to two pieces when the table's short. You could do a triptych on the wall, and then when you move, you can change it around. So yes, I'm going to use them in a utility way, and I'm also going to use them as a decorative.
A decorative way, yeah. I mean, now, I'm talking to Linda, and she's wearing one with rhinestones as a, you know, sort of a necklace thing.
Chatelaine.
Yes.
Name badge holder.
Yeah, name badge holder. And so who had the idea to put the rhinestones in it? Was that something that you thought up, or did you find one and sort of got your colors you wanted?
They showed me a black one with the rhinestones, and of course, folks wanted purple and they wanted pink, so those are the colors we have now, and there's no telling what other colors we're going to come up with.
Oh, this is just, you know, this is amazing fun. You know, do you go out and travel and teach, or?
Oh, yes. The week after festival, and I am staying for festival this year, mm-hmm. But the week after festival, I'll be out in California teaching, and then I need to be back in the studio to get a little bit of sewing done and work on a couple of patterns that are in the head and the book that the publisher wants. And but, yes, lots of shows and lots of classes, so that, I've got to get out with the people, too.
Oh, you're very people-oriented. I mean, you're just so friendly, and there must be a fun class.
Oh, yeah. We have fun with our zippers and thread, and I let them sew crooked, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. See, she's out of the box, folks. She's out of the box, yeah. Well, on your website, do you have, like, where you're going to be?
My schedule is listed on the website. We haven't got 2012 on there yet, but it's pretty full, and it should go up in the next month or so.
Great. Well, Linda,
so you can see me all over the country.
All over the country. Linda McGehee from Ghees.com, right? GHEES.com. Thank you so much, Linda.
Thanks, Pat. It's been fun.
I hope you had a great time listening to this show with my four different guests. It was a lot of fun to go and see some of them at their work, or see them at the show where I could talk to them in person. So go on out to allpeoplequilt.com, check out all the things that we have on the website. Come back next week for another radio show here at American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'll see you next time.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.